Welcome to Into Infinity, broadcasting the solutions to Pi. And today we're going to be talking about the structure of infinite number space. To start with, it might be, if we just recap, we had a talk a little while ago where we just showed that algebra doesn't make any sense in the fourth dimension, the numbers can equal anything. We'll just go back through that process again for those who missed very quickly. We'll just take the number zero, we're going to set up a simple algorithm, zero divided by one, and then we're going to form that calculation, and then we're going to plus one. And once we get the result, we're going to take that into the next row, and we're going to divide that by one, and we're going to plus one, and we're going to divide that by one, plus one, and so on. And as we go so on, what happens is we create sets of numbers. We create actually three sets of numbers for those who are really observant. Three ordinal numbers and one two ordinal numbers and one cardinal. And so zero starts the affair, and we go from zero, and it goes all the way from zero to infinity, and you have the plus one. One set is greater than the other, yeah. So because it includes zero, yeah. So that's the upshot. So what happens is if you go into the negative, so instead of plus one, we're going to plus minus one, and we're going to divide by minus one. And what suddenly happens is that we get a binary code suddenly, yeah. And that, so rather than progressing through the numbers, we're going to now progress along a straight line, 10101010010. If you think of it like that. So, and then when you terminate, if you stop the calculation, the calculation will flip into the positive, and suddenly you'll get a positive number flip, which means, hey, we've stopped counting. So you see how we mentioned about how consciousness kind of works, isn't it? We count the numbers, we stop counting, and we presume, hey, that's the number, yeah? But really, we're just extrapolating that particular thing out of the infinite. That's what's actually happening, and that's what we do in reality. And when we do, we can always add one, and we can always minus one. That's what the nature of infinity is, plus or minus one. And so when we flip that inversion, that's what we have on the other side, on to go to the negative side. But if we think about it, what that's really done is that's created like this kind of particular number structure, whereby when we increase through our ordinal counting, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, so on, then we are actually moving through on one side a number count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And on the other side, we're flipping from 0 to 1, 0 to 1, 0 to 1, or minus 1. And what we're seeing then is actually each one of those is aligning itself with either a even number or an odd number. So there we are. We have two types of number, an odd number and an even number, and they are designated specifically 1 and 0 for that particular purpose, which is quite handy when it comes to programming computers, as we do with quantum computing. Anyway, in the next step, what we'll do is we'll take the same algorithm. So the same algorithm, what that does is nothing changes. Yeah, we're not going to change. We're still going to divide. We're still going to plus. But the only thing we're going to change now is we're going to change the number one for the number two. We're going to exchange the number one for the number two. If we do that with the first, with the calculation before we changed it, we went from zero and we changed it to two. What you'll get is you'll get plus one, plus two, minus one, plus two, minus one, plus two, so and so forth on the negative side. And if you go into the positive side, what you will see is the numbers will just go from two onto infinity. So we've actually got what we call minus infinity minus two at that point, yeah. Well, actually, or minus three if you include the zero. So it depends whether you include two or not, yeah. And that all depends on whether you're counting your ordinals or your cardinals, which is why we keep track of the two sets of number types in fourth dimensional mathematics. One set time, one set space. We actually have two sets of cardinals. There are two sets of ordinals for every cardinal, and that means that there's a time frame. Whereas actually, when we experience space, we have a backwards and forwards, and that's kind of gives us an extra kind of in negative. So the cardinal space is twice the length, but the ordinals are two. There's two ordinal numbers from one upwards to infinity that actually are the ordinals that we see in the three rows. So they're counting. So what's happening? Okay, so what's happening here is We're going to move now on to the next number, and we're going to change the number 2. And you might think, if we change the actual calculation now, so now we're going to divide by 2 plus 2. And so now that everything is going to change, we're going to put 0 in. And what we find is that the number starts at the number 0 divided by 2 plus 2 starts at the number 2. But instead of increasing through a number series from up to infinity, instead all that happens is the number disintegrates or dissolves, or we call it the dissolution of the number, and then the number has a dissolution effect, and it just dissolves into the number 3.999 to infinity. We can, if we like, we could try to round that to 4 to make it a little bit more understandable, but in our view that's a little bit of a different number, but still, we can understand, we could say, it goes down to 4. So what happens then is that you can say, if I change that number, maybe something will change. And we tried to change the number, and what we found now is that nothing changed. Whatever number you put in the top, it just dissolves to the number 4. You can't help it, So that's one way of looking at things. So what happens is that we can do that. We can change, the equation from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 9. So, divided by 3 plus 3, divided by 4 plus 3, divided by 5 plus 3, divided by 6 plus, divided by 1 plus 1, divided by 2 plus 2, divided by 3 plus 3, divided by 4 plus 4, divided by 5 plus 5, and so on, right the way through the numbers of infinity. And we can devolve all of those numbers infinitely. And what happens is that each one of them produces a different number of some description. It's a very definite number, and it has a counterpart number as well. And that counterpart number allows us to re-evolve that number back up to the original as well, if we go back through infinity. So what we have now is a counting system, and what we're seeing is a number emerge, and we think it's the same, we think it all works out to be the same number, but that's not true. What's happening is actually each one is a different number. So how do we know this? Okay, what we have to do is we have to map what we call the signature. So as the numbers dissolve, they will dissolve through a certain number process. And as we're counting the number of steps, we're counting the ordinals, we can map the number of steps, 1, 2, 3. And when we can put the numbers up the side, 1, 2, 3, like that, and make a square of number space, if you like. And we can place that square of number space over a place where these numbers are devolving. Yeah, where are they devolving to? Now, it just so happens that that the numbers will devolve towards the number 1 in one half of the thing, and on into a different type of space on the other side. Yeah, so they will slowly increase and as 1 decreases. Yeah, and what that means is there'll be a point where you actually reach 0.999. There's a real 9999. But for each number, that point of devolution to that absolute zero, if you like, is different. The rate is different. And so what we can do is we can map the steps as 1, 2, 3, 4 and create smooth curvatures that show where in between the steps of time, if you like, the ordinal steps, that the number lines are crossing, and where they cross forms what we call the bijection of those two infinite points, in other words, they've crossed and made a node, and that node is a particular point in number space. And when we place that image on a scaled number space, so everything is in scale, so we don't lose the scaling of number space, what happens is we can actually identify what that number actually is. And so that's how we use the function of what we call dissolution waves, to create infinity signatures. And what we do is we make comparisons of, say, certain numbers, say phi, pi, root 2, and we can compare all the infinity signatures, and out of that we can start to begin to map where they cross and provide geometries which have certain ratios involved in them, which reveal something about the nature of the numbership relationships. And that was one of the technologies that we used to decode the pi number through pi constants and through various things, and showing that pi had a bounce point. And that then once we knew that pi had that bounce point over the 1, which represented a reciprocal of itself, rather than you're dividing by pi, adding pi, over one. So then you can find the bounce point. And it's by messing around with those reciprocals in that very simple equation, and pi n reciprocals, that we found the pi constants. And the pi constants then allowed us to make an analysis of the infinity of pi. So that's how that kind of happened, and how things are, you know, quite exciting for us as we pioneer some of this new fourth dimensional mathematics. And we do hope that you're enjoying some of the broadcasts that we're putting out. And if you'd like to get involved, taking more questions, and if you've got any, you know, experimental stuff that you've come across that you think is interesting, you know, do join in the conversation. So my name's been Colin Power from Into Infinity. This is the Pi Solution series broadcasting to you, where we're talking about the Riemann hypothesis, the infinite solutions, and our new fourth dimensional mathematics.